The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments last week on a case that could have a big impact on unions, especially in the public sector. A teacher in California objects to paying union fees for activities she does not support. A Supreme Court ruling in 1977 upheld those so-called agency or fair share fees to support the benefits all union members receive under collective bargaining. For more on the case and what it could mean for the labor movement, we spoke with attorney Mike Billock, a labor and employment expert with the law firm Bond, Schenick & King.
There's a state law in California, and a lot of states, including New York, have such laws that require public employees, when they're working for a unit where that's represented by a union, but they don't want to be a member of the union, to pay something called an agency fee. And what that's supposed to be is a fee to cover the cost to the union of collective bargaining. It's supposed to accept out political costs, such as lobbying or other political activities, but to cover the cost of collective bargaining. So the theory there is that just because somebody doesn't want to be a member of the union, they shouldn't be a free rider and get the benefit of the wages and benefits that the union secured for all of the employees, including those people.
Even though this argument before the court is regarding a public sector union, could this also affect private unions?
It wouldn't affect private unions so much. And what the argument is when it comes to the public sector that the teacher is making is saying that you're requiring me to spend this money to pay the union this agency fee under the theory that I'm not paying for political activities, but any collective bargaining that the union engages in concerns public taxpayer dollars. So if the union gets additional wages or additional benefits for those employees, where those wages and benefits are coming from are public taxpayer dollars. And so the theory is that that is political speech and that you're forcing those people that don't want to be members of the union to pay money to fund political activities. And so under the First Amendment, they shouldn't be required to make that speech.
So this is actually an issue of free speech, not necessarily union or labor law. It's more than a First Amendment case.
Correct. And actually, that's one of the arguments that the state is making, that the unions are making, is that the government here in California should be treated just like any other employer. In private employers, the private employer can make an agreement with the union to say, well, these people that in the unit that don't want to be part of the union cannot be part of the union, but they still have to pay an agency fee. And in the private sector, there's not a free speech issue with that, but the argument from the teachers is that there is a free speech issue with that in the public sector because now you're making me fund a political activity.
Media reports coming out of the court last week indicated that the five Republican appointees strongly suggested that they believe it's unconstitutional. The four others on the court suggested that the union had the right to do this. The tone of questions that the judges ask in a case like this, does that indicate what's going to happen, or can you be surprised by something?
You can always be surprised by something. It is a good reading of the tea leaves. And of course, Justice Thomas never asks any question in any argument. So you may not necessarily know where he might come out unless you're familiar with his jurisprudence. In this regard, though, based on the questions that were asked, it's interesting in terms of where each of the justices were coming from. The five normally termed conservative justices were asking more about the speech issue and whether you could compel the speech, make somebody fund speech they don't want to make, whereas the more quote-unquote liberal justices were not making an argument in that were asking questions in that regard. They were more asking questions along the line of what would be the effect of this? Wouldn't this change thousands or more contracts across the country and as well as appealing to precedent? We made a decision back in 1977, and now you're arguing we should reverse this decision only 40 years later. Shouldn't we maintain the same ruling as we had before?
Because this is a California case, would this ruling just apply to California? Would it automatically go to the other states where these kind of laws are in place?
Frankly, that's hard to predict. The general rule when it comes to Supreme Court jurisprudence is they try to make as narrow a decision as possible. And frankly, there was a similar case last year that involved healthcare workers that they were just termed not to be public employees, so it didn't quite reach this issue. And so here we are again a year later. They could simply say this particular law is unconstitutional, or they could, but in doing so, their decision, it may be very difficult to make a narrow decision in saying that any state law that compels the paying of an agency fee would be a violation of First Amendment, in which case it would affect New York's Taylor law.
What would happen if the unions lose this case? Could they really be financially devastated?
They are certainly very worried about becoming so. I definitely think it will have some effect on their coffers. How much of an effect it'll have, it's difficult to say. There are 25 states, quote-unquote, right-to-work states, where this is not the case, and there is not a state law that requires a paying of an agency fee, and the unions are still surviving in those states. And interestingly enough, even on the federal union workforce, again, they don't have to pay an agency fee if they opt out, and the federal public unions are doing well as well. So I think that they will take a hit. It's a question as to how much of a hit they will take.
Mike Billock is an attorney with the firm Bond, Schenick & King.